Usually, when you picture the future of artificial intelligence, your mind probably goes instantly to these massive, sprawling data
Oh,
centers.
absolutely. Just millions of servers humming away.
Right, out in some remote desert somewhere, heavily guarded, owned by a trillion-dollar tech giant, and just completely out of reach.
Yeah, the cloud feels very untouchable.
It does. But look, what if the actual battleground for the future of AI, and honestly, the future of your own cognitive privacy, isn't in the cloud at all?
Well, that's the thing. What if the most important territory is actually a $200 piece of silicon sitting on your desk right now?
Which is wild to think about. And today, that is exactly what our mission is for this deep dive.
The terrifying reality is that the window to control that little piece of hardware is about to slam shut.
Yeah, we're decoding a really time-sensitive, urgent manifesto aimed squarely at developers. It's from a project called localghost.ai.
Written by a developer named Vlad Siaku.
Right at the very end of 2025. And it's
Yeah.
essentially this massive warning flare shot into the night sky.
It really is. The stakes outlined in the source material are just incredibly high.
We want to figure out how developers can build local-first AI software right now. Why the clock is ticking so fast, and what's actually at stake for your agency as a user?
Because the author makes this brilliant argument. Everyone is so hyped up on cloud AI capabilities, but the real fight is over who controls the physical machine that processes your most intimate thoughts.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Before we even get into how to build the software, we need to understand the why. And the manifesto breaks this down into three stages of data extraction.
Yeah, a really helpful historical framing.
Right. So stage one was what he calls the online self. This is, the 2000s, the 2010s.
Browsing history. E-commerce purchases.
Exactly. Social graphs. We gave all that up for free search engines and social networks.
But that was just the foundational layer. I mean, we are currently living through stage two.
The ambient self.
Right, the ambient self.
Yeah.
Data extraction has breached the screen, and now it's mapping the physical world.
Oh, yeah. Like, look around your living room right now. You can spot the nodes.
There's a smart speaker on the shelf,
A doorbell camera feeding to your phone.
a robotic vacuum mapping your floor plan with LiDAR.
Right, or a fitness tracker monitoring your heart rate. And by themselves, they seem fine. A smart thermostat is innocuous.
But networked together, they create this highly detailed, continuous map of your physical existence.
Which perfectly sets the trap for stage three. The stage, the manifesto says, is imminent, like happening right now.
The cognitive self.
Yes. The cognitive self. This is where personal AI assistants capture your actual reasoning.
Which is a huge leap from stage one.
Totally. I like to think of it like this. Your search history from stage one is basically just a grocery store receipt.
Right. It just shows what you bought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But an AI prompt, like a continuous back and forth with an assistant, that's like someone pacing the aisles with you.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Thanks. They're listening to you debate out loud why you chose the generic brand over the name brand, documenting your budget anxieties.
Your late night impulses, your doubts. It's the sheer depth of that psychological mapping that's so fascinating.
Chintan terrifying.
Well, yeah, the questions you ask an AI, the iterations you go through to get the right answer, it reveals your underlying decision-making frameworks.
You're externalizing how you think.
Exactly. You are giving these platforms a direct, unfiltered pipeline into your reasoning. No platform in history has ever had that.
Now, I can hear people right now saying, okay, so what?
Right, the I have nothing to hide argument.
Yeah, or just listen, this is the tax I pay to get an amazing free AI to plan my vacation or draft my emails.
And that's exactly where we need to look at the underlying business model laid out in the text.
Right, because if we connect this to the bigger picture, the user's agency is what's actually being paid here.
The author breaks it down into four pillars. First is attention. Your focus is auctioned off in real time.
Classic internet model.
Right. Second is behavior. Your daily patterns are packaged as insights and sold to third parties.
Okay, so my habits become a product.
Exactly. Which leads to the third pillar, preference. And this is where it gets aggressive. They use your habits for algorithmic price discrimination.
Wait, really? Price discrimination based on my prompts?
Yes. If the platform knows your budget anxieties and brand loyalties from your AI conversations, they can calculate the exact maximum price you are willing to pay for a flight and just show you that price.
Oh, wow. That is incredibly manipulative.
And it leads to the final, ultimate product, prediction. If a model has mapped your cognitive self, It's not just predicting your next purchase.
It's predicting your reactions.
Right. It's an engine for manipulation at scale. As the author points out, the user isn't the customer anymore. The user is the inventory.
Man, okay, that completely reframes things. And if capturing the cognitive self is the end game, we need to look at the threat model.
Because big tech is not going to just ask nicely for this data.
No, they are building the physical Trojan horses right now.
Yeah.
And the timeline in this manifesto is moving so fast. We're talking first half of 2026.
Right.
Right now, Apple is reportedly preparing a HomePod smart home hub.
Sitting right around the $299 to $350 mark.
Which is dangerously affordable. It's got a 7-inch display, Face ID to personalize it for whoever walks in the room, and deep HomeKit integration.
The hardware is completely locked and loaded for mass distribution.
So the software seems to be the bottleneck, right? Because the TextNote series revamp was delayed from iOS 18.4.
Yeah, that shows us that getting the AI layer to function flawlessly in an ambient environment is just notoriously hard.
Background noise, multiple speakers, it's tough.
It is a monumental challenge. But once they solve it, and if that hits homes by Christmas, millions of households are instantly locked in.
And then the network effects take over in 2027.
Exactly. Apple is reportedly working on home robots and AI glasses next. Third-party developers will flock to the dominant platform.
And by 2028, the window narrows completely. The habits are formed.
If you try to leave, you have to abandon years of your family's routines and start from scratch.
Which nobody is going to do. It's a paradox, right? The real threat isn't some dystopian, evil-looking robot kicking down your door.
No, not at all.
The threat is a beautiful, incredibly convenient $299 device that seamlessly syncs to your iCloud.
The author has a brilliant phrase for this. They call it the UX of sovereignty built on the architecture of dependence.
The UX of sovereignty. That is so good.
It really is. It looks and feels like you're in control.
So they give me this beautifully designed dashboard, heavily marketed as privacy first.
Right. They might process a few simple requests locally just to justify that marketing.
But secretly, the device degrades or turns into a paperweight if I ever disconnect it from their cloud servers.
Precisely. Mm. Big tech uses privacy as marketing to mask the fact that the continuous learning and heavy computation still require their telemetry.
And the window for alternatives closes just because people stop looking. Once a convenient default exists, why bother?
Exactly. Path of least resistance.
Okay, so if the timeline is this aggressive, developers can't just sit around. And here is where it gets really interesting for anyone listening who wants to build.
Because the biggest excuse for not building local AI is officially dead.
The hardware barrier. It's gone.
Completely commoditized.
Right. The manifesto points out that Intel and AMD are making neural processing units NPU standard features now.
Not just premium upsells. Apple already puts them in every device.
And for developers right now, the practical starting points are amazing. We're talking ARM boards like the Rockchip RK3588.
The Orange Pi 5 Plus.
Qualcomm Edge AI chips. You can get capable local inference hardware right now for under $200.
And you can literally hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not a server rack.
But wait, how does a $200 board do what used to take massive GPUs?
Well, traditional CPUs are generalists. They juggle your operating system, background tasks, web browser.
Right, a little bit of everything.
But AI inference is mostly matrix multiplication, huge volumes of very specific math. NPUs are specialized just for that math.
So they chew through it super fast.
Exactly, with a fraction of the power draw. So your tiny board can run a 7 billion parameter model smoothly.
Which means the machine is no longer the bottleneck. Developers don't need to outspend Google on hardware.
No, the territory is totally unclaimed in the software layer.
But privacy alone has never won a consumer market.
Never. And that's the harsh truth for the open source community.
The local alternative has to be better and easier. If I have to use a command line interface to turn on my living room lights, I'm buying the Apple HomePod.
Absolutely. The local option has to be entirely frictionless, or it stays a niche hobby.
Even if it does stay somewhat niche, though, doesn't it still matter? Like if only 10% of people use an Orange Pi system.
It matters immensely. Because the mere existence of a credible, local-first alternative constrains the dominant platforms.
It keeps them honest.
Right.
Right.
They can't aggressively turn the screws on price discrimination if users have an easy ripcord to pull.
Okay, I love the optimism, but I want to pump the brakes for a second. We can't look at this through rose-colored glasses.
We definitely shouldn't.
The manifesto actually has a really blunt section about this.
Yeah.
The honest limitations.
Starting with the fact that localghost.ai is, right now, literally a ghost.
Yeah, it's just a vision. There's a GitHub repo, a website, a manifesto written over Christmas.
But no working software and no hardware prototypes.
It's purely a call to arms.
Exactly. But there's an even deeper structural limitation we have to talk about.
This is the part that blew my mind. Wait, so even if I buy an Orange Pi, put it in my living room, and completely sever the internet connection.
Right. Completely air-gapped.
The AI might still be spying on me or manipulating me.
This raises a really important question about how these models are built. As the text warns, the weights are the worldview.
The weights are the worldview.
Right. Running local hardware keeps your real-time data off their servers. But it cannot fix what was baked into the model during its training.
Because training a 70 billion parameter model still takes tens of millions of dollars.
Exactly. So whoever funded that training baked their biases, their safety guardrails, their philosophical leanings directly into the math.
So if a massive tech company subtly weighted the parameters to favor their own commercial ecosystem.
Or avoid specific political topics.
Right. Then I'm importing that exact bias right onto my local hardware.
You can verify where the processing happens, but you can't verify the training.
That is so frustrating. I've locked the doors to my house so the AI can't call home, but I still have to listen to its corporate worldview.
But here is the saving grace of local first AI.
Okay, I need some good news.
It gives developers and users the option to respond.
Agency.
Exactly. If you're on a cloud API and they suddenly change the model's logic, you can't do anything about it.
Right. You're just stuck with it.
But locally, you have model diversity. The community can red team these open weight models, find the biases, and if you don't like it,
I just swap the model out.
You literally just delete the file and load a different one. Cloud providers have never offered that level of swappability.
That makes sense. Okay, so to wrap this all up and summarize for you listening,
mm-hmm.
The window for local AI is open right now, but it's closing fast.
By the second half of 2026, those big tech defaults are hitting the market.
Right, but developers have the tools today. ARM boards, ROC chips, NPUs, all under $200. The fight isn't just about data anymore. It's about protecting the cognitive self.
But we have to stay grounded. Privacy won't win alone. The software has to be perfectly frictionless, and we have to deal with training biases.
Which leaves me with one final kind of lingering thought for you to mull over.
Oh, let's hear it.
We talked about how you can't untrain these models, right?
Right. The weights are the worldview.
Exactly. So when you finally spin up that 70 billion parameter model on your own totally private local device, whose worldview are you actually inviting into your home?
And what happens to shared reality when everyone has a different one?
Exactly. Something to think about.